Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, North Rock. How are we doing this morning? Are we good? Hey, I don't know if you caught that, but Brian told us at the end of that our worship team, that group right there, is going to be leading camps for our teens in a couple weeks. But Marissa is directing that camp. So give it up for Marissa. It's going to be awesome. Please be praying for them while they're up there on that mountain seeking God and growing in the grace and love that he has for them. The other thing that I would just have to say, you know, if that's like what they're going to get, like, I want to be a teen. Like, I want to go to camp, you know, for a week. I don't know what it was today, but I think there's a little extra funk in that set. And a little more freedom in it. In fact, so much so, Ryan, that I think I set my PT back like 3 months. So I got to go for my year checkup next week. And I'm afraid I just undid some stuff. But anyway, it was good. It was good. It's good. And it's really good to see you all here this morning. We are starting a new series today. I get the privilege of bringing the first installment of that. But what we're talking about is really, it's sometimes referred to as the fivefold ministry of Jesus. Anybody familiar with that phrase? Or APEST, right? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. As the way that Jesus set things up for him to express his life in and through the church, okay? So I wanted to start with a quick verse that many of us quote anytime there's a hardship or a difficult situation in our lives, right? So it's an interaction that we caught between Peter and Jesus, right? And in it, Jesus, it's the one where Jesus talks to Peter and says, "Hey, Peter, on that truth, I'm going to build my church." You guys remember that interaction? It's in Matthew 12, what did you say, 14? I think, let me see, I lost my place here. Yep. So anyway, I can't seem to find it. That's what happens. 16, 18. That's it, I'm two pages ahead, that's why. Got to open up to the right place to start with the right text, right? So Matthew 16, 14, right? What? 16, 18. All right. I'm not doing well with numbers today. I apologize. Here we go. 16, 14. I knew I shouldn't have thrown this in here. 16, 18. You guys are all there. I'm still trying to get there. Here we go. Okay, and basically it's this interaction where Jesus tells Peter, says, "Peter, on this truth, I will build my church. On this rock, Petros, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overcome it." Now, that's a good verse, isn't it? That's like one of those victory verses. That's like what Ryan was doing. Yeah! That's one of those verses, right? And we all believe that. And we all try to live into that as much as we know how. But the crazy part about the faith journey that we have is that the only faith that matters is the faith that we express, not that Jesus can do it, but that Jesus is doing it through us. Does that make sense? Like, so sometimes, you know, and part of it's my makeup, part of it's that I'm a pastor, part of it's just that, you know, Jesus radically grabbed a hold of my life and snatched me out of all kinds of mess 23, 24 years ago. And so we've been just trying to follow him ever since. And part of it is my personality towards that, to say God is doing something amazing, but it's really easy for me to believe that about you. It's harder for me to believe that he's doing it through me. Does that make sense this morning? And so the reason that I phrase it that way is because we spend a lot of time saying Jesus is building his church, yeah! But we don't always take the time to say how. Lord, how are you building your church? And what specifically is my contribution and participation in that vision? Changes it, doesn't it, right? It's easy to look at faith and go, "Oh yeah, them, woo!" But when it comes home to roost, we got to remember that Jesus needs a body, right? That's the beauty of that interaction. It's Peter and Jesus, and it's intimate, and they're talking. He's like, "Dude, I'm going to build my church on you, on Petros, Peter. Going to build it. We're going to do this thing. You and I." And we're like, "Oh, that's cool for Peter." Right? But the interaction was that Jesus needed a body. Jesus needed a body to incarnate, didn't he? Jesus came in flesh. Why? To move into our neighborhood and to say, "Hey, y'all, I'm your new neighbor. Let's do this thing," right? So that's what we're talking about today. And every bit as true as it was as we read it in Matthew, he needed a body to communicate with his people. He still needs a body, amen? That we as a church are his body. We are the vehicles that he didn't just default on and go, oh, I guess you'll do, I'll take you. Right? Instead, what he said was, I choose you. So turn to somebody today and say, you are chosen. You're chosen. You're chosen by Jesus to be his representatives, to live out this influence of the Holy Spirit in this era and in this place, okay? So I know when I say the word church, we all think of a lot of different things. Sometimes I think the enemy of our souls, that's one of his tactics, is just to put confusion with simple words like church, right? Because when I say church, some of you guys are like, oh, okay, he's just trying to get more people in this place, right? No, I mean, this is church, don't get me wrong, but so is our 9-to-5s, right? So is our family time. So is everything that we do. That's the whole idea behind the good news of the gospel, is that even in our strengths, our weaknesses, our fears, our failures, our accomplishments, Jesus is Lord of all of it. It's all one. His church is one, right? And the whole experience is one, that we don't have the options to compartmentalize and be like, I'm going to go get my Jesus on. But then the rest of this, I'm going to keep on over here, right? It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. So the idea is that he clothed himself in flesh. He enfleshed himself because he needed a body. And today we stand here on his foundation, amen? There is no other foundation but the foundation of Jesus. He's the cornerstone of our faith. The Holy Spirit is the fuel for our faith, right? And here's the really cool part, the part that turns that question that I just posed to you is, he's a fan of you and I. That he wants to fan into flame our very lives. And I know right now we could all, myself included, go, yeah, but Pastor, like there's, you know, stuff and challenges and things and family and, right, there's all those things. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus saw it, knew it, and invited us along anyway. Isn't that good? I hope you like it because that's all I got for you today. This is what we're talking about, y'all. So you can dig in with me or tune me out for the next 20 minutes, but we're gonna do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, as we open up your scriptures today, Lord, we ask you to reveal yourself. Lord, we don't want to just have an experience where we get information and we go, okay, that was interesting or that was okay or I enjoyed the worship or whatever. Lord, we're here as a spiritual discipline. And we ask you as Lord and Savior of our lives to speak to us, to live in and through us, and to transform our lives and this whole world by the love that you gave. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves as those people in the day-to-day, the moment-by-moment, and the hope that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Ephesians chapter 4. It's one of my favorite texts out there. And I'm going to reveal why in just a few moments because that's kind of my makeup. But Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3, verse 7, and verse 11 through 13. I don't have time today to get into the whole chapter. But over the next 4 weeks in this series, or 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at the different gifts that Christ gives the church. And so I'd ask you to familiarize. Spend some time just sitting in Ephesians 4, asking the Spirit to speak to you, okay? But for today, we're going to take on those verses. And it starts off with a peculiar phrase, doesn't it? Peculiar term. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, the Ephesian church. And his opening line is, hey, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. And I'm going to stop right there because even as I say that phrase, live a life worthy of the calling you have received, some of us are hearing other voices in our lives that maybe have said you're unworthy, right? But that's not who he's writing to. He's writing to the New Testament church, the one that's already been redeemed and restored and is loved by God beyond your most incredible dreams. So when he says live a life worthy, he's not saying, hey, quit being bad, y'all. Quit doing the stuff that you know you're not supposed to be doing. It is that, but that's not what he's addressing. What he's addressing is saying, I have a life that's so much more abundant and amazing than the one that you could live on your own in your own strength. Would you trust me and give me your whole life? And that's why Paul refers to himself a prisoner of this thing, is that he'd been enraptured by a vision of Jesus that was so compelling. He's like, all right, let's do this. All the flaws, all the things, we're just going to make it, we're going to go for it, okay? So please hear that language as Jesus' worth in you makes us worthy, right? So we have to receive his word that way, or else the rest of the things I'm going to say to you, you're going to be like, nah, that's not for me, that's for somebody else, okay? So verse 2 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Whew, preaching to myself here. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity. Everybody say unity. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Verse 7, he starts to talk about this gift that Christ gave to the church. He says, but Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. Or in this version, it says pastors and teachers. Shepherd and pastor, you know, are kind of interchangeable in this text. And verse 12, it says, for a purpose. Now he tells us the why, the what for and the why, right? The how he's going to do it. He says he gives them those to equip his people for works of service, right? It's important. It's an important distinction of seeing who the church is and who he's writing this to. And he says, so that the body of Christ may be built up. In other words, the GPS stuff we've been talking about, the gifts, the passions, the story that God's uniquely created you with that no one else in the world has but you, your experience, your history, your family, your gifts, your training, your you, right? The only you can fulfill that role. You're the only one that can play that piece. But he says the purpose of the gifts isn't just so you can go, yay, I have gifts, woo, and you. It's for the building up. It's for the equipping of the saints. It's so that Jesus can inhabit bodies that transforms a world. How many of you guys believe today, as much as a long time ago, our world needs transformed by Jesus? Listen, he's already done everything he's going to do beyond coming back and putting the final exclamation point on this thing. We get to participate in it. And as someone who is gifted and as an apostle, that makes me really excited. I hope it excites you too. So it says, so that the body may be built up. Verse 13, we're going to finish with this one. This will continue until we all come to such unity. You know why I like that phrase? Is because it's process driven, right? It's not just an event that happened in my life. I gave my life to Jesus and now I just sit here and wait until it's all done. He's saying, no, the life that I'm giving to you, I'm going to continue to develop and grow until, as this says, until you hit the full measure, right? Complete standard of who Christ is. Like that's a huge statement, y'all. Right? That's like the full measure. Like anybody in here want to stand up and say, I got the full measure. I'm good. Yeah, I passed the test. I aced it. I'm just going to wait for Jesus to show up now. Right? No, he's developing us out of his commitment and his love to transform all of us into all of him, right? So he makes it possible, and he's the one that's doing it in us because we couldn't do it in our own strength, right? Anybody ever try to fix something in your life? Like, I'm going to get better at not doing that. You realize that's a terrible plan, don't you? Like, it just doesn't work. The more you obsess and fixate and work on something that you're supposed to fix in yourself, usually the worse it gets and the more aware you are of just how deficient you are in that area, even though you thought you were already pretty bad at it to begin with. But the trick is to say, I want the life Jesus had. I want the fullness of who he is. I want to continue to lean into his promises, apply them to my life, and live this thing out. And when we do that, the church thrives. When we do that, when we steward all those gifts, all those stories, all those passions, it makes a difference in the world, okay? And in our families and in our own narrative. So if you can go to the next slide for me. We get the major themes of the gift that Jesus is to the church, okay? Apostolic, prophetic, evangelist, shepherding, teaching. And here's the deal. Like, I know that there have been times when I've stepped onto the stage and I've underwhelmed some of you at times, okay? Like it's okay. I get it. It's okay. Right? And part of that is because God doesn't want me to live the narrative that I am all unto myself. He doesn't want you to either, right? In other words, he gives us specific giftings based on who he's called us to and what he's called us to do that we have to build around with us teams of people that round us out, okay? So have you guys ever heard a 10-talent person, right? That's a scriptural term. It's the idea of the people that showed up in the line first and got all the gifts, like the musical ones, the preaching ones, the good looks, all the things that make a 10-talent person where you just go, wow, they're impressive, right? Listen, I got there somewhere in the middle of the line, all right? So I get what you get, so don't throw a fit, all right? You get what you get. I'm okay with it. You should be too, or I hope that one day you will be too, right? But I say that as self-deprecating humor, but for the purpose of just reminding us that none of us are all of those things. But you know who is? That name we've been calling out, Jesus. Jesus. That part of why you're going to see me up here some weeks and other people up here some weeks is because I believe that I am not the lead pastor of this church. Jesus is the lead pastor of this church. I have giftings. I have to bring those. I have to own those. I have to live those out. But so do a whole bunch of other people if this promise is to fulfill itself in our season of life, okay? So mine is, I think it's kind of cool. It's on the top. I didn't make this graphic, by the way. This comes from Alan Hirsch, some of the work that he's done on the study of the church for a long time. But the apostolic gifting, that's me. Like, so I'm always stirring things up. I'm always saying, hey, let's go try this, or let's go plant that church, or let's go to this place in missions. Let's go. And people are like, hey, have you, like, stopped to count the cost? And it's like, no. But thank you for pointing that out so that we can come up with a better plan strategy and make sure that, you know, we're having more and more and more and more success doing what God's called us to do. Okay, but with mine, with my giftings, that apostolic section, there's some words that are associated with it. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at each of these and talking about the different words. And so here's the thing that I'm going to say. The Bible says it is not wise to compare yourselves one with another. Okay, so all these gifts are Jesus. All of us together is the fullness and the measure of who God is. But don't be like that. And I'm like one of the most competitive people in the world. Like, I see people with those 10 talent gifts. I see those people that rock 3 or 4 of these things. And I just go, oh, man, must be nice. You know what I mean? But let's not be those people. Let's be those people that own ours and contribute and participate and create beautiful, beautiful expressions of Jesus in this world. All right, so the stack boxes kind of tell you where we're headed. Mine is the apostolic evangelist. Those are the two notes that I kind of roll in. Okay, and it's kind of the same type of a gift. It's always about not just who's here, but who's not here, right? You guys realize that the church is the only organization that is structured to meet the needs of the people that aren't in the building. You guys know that? Jesus sent us. Jesus was sent. And that's what he says, go make disciples of all the nations and send them and go, right, to the ends of the earth, okay? So that's just part of that impulse is something that resonates with me. That impulse is something that I get pretty jacked about. And I hope some of us in this room are also apostolic gifted and going, yeah! So if you're that person in here, give me a few amens as we go through some of this list, all right? But again, the other part that I was making with not the comparison is don't begrudge the gifts that you've been given. Like, if today you're like, I'm not really all that interested in apostolic, it's okay. But we're going to talk about some things in the other weeks, and you're going to be like, amen. That's it. That's it. And I'm going to be like, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. All right, so apostolic. Again, these are taken from a guy named Alan Hirsch. He's done a lot of really good work on the missional church and how to activate the body of Christ back to being the body of Christ. Because here's just my prediction, y'all. This isn't gospel. It's just your pastor sharing his best guesses at where everything's headed with the church. Is we're going to see a lot more churches of micro multiple expressions. Does that make sense? In other words, we talk about our methodology being gathering together, growing together, so we can go back out into the world and do what God's called us to do. Multiple expressions of the church all the time in a lot of different ways and a lot of different giftings as we move further into history here. So my profile is apostolic evangelistic. The key descriptors of this behavior that you saw, some of them behind me there, were visionary, strategist, risk-taking, change agent, pioneering. We've been having some fun with that. But I know that those people lead in industry and do a lot of different things in the world from that basic lens, right? So I'm going to read a section that Alan wrote to help you understand, and in understanding what the apostle does as a gift to the body and what the evangelist does as part of the body, that'll maybe help you understand your pastor a little bit better, okay? So it says the apostle evangelist's impact on others comes through the comprehensive view of the kingdom and can apply the knowledge both to individuals and through the organization. They can extend Jesus' mission both broadly as well as appeal to individuals in their orbit as the evangelist. So the mature AE, it's again, that's my pairing. It's mostly apostle, but the evangelist is what happens when I get into one-on-ones. It says, makes for a very compelling leader, says they have real drive as well as the ability to recruit people towards the big sense of cause. Breathe. The AE has a sense of strategic combined with clarity of vision, but can communicate these things in an engaging way. As a risk taker and an innovator, they provide an ideal profile for movement making, church planning, or entrepreneur. The ultimate motivation of the AE is to extend the kingdom impact through organizational and individual alignment to Jesus and the gospel. Not surprisingly, apostolic types tend to favor the entrepreneurial edges in the church and have a natural capacity for adventure. They tend to be less risk averse than those who fall under other forms of ministry and leadership. Following this pioneering instinct, they are ones most likely to engage at the edges of the organization to innovate and to extend the faith into new ground. They therefore provide the catalytic, adaptive, movemental, translocal, pioneering, entrepreneurial leadership needed to spark, mobilize, and sustain movements, okay? It says this involves being the developer and custodian of the meta ideas, the DNA, that determines the health of a system. Because of this, they can play a vital role in the design as the leadership and the health of the organization. All right, so I love that there's systems language built into this, okay? So if you're an apostle, give me that amen right now, because we just talked about you, okay? We just talked about how God's wired you. But I love that there's this imagery of the body and that Jesus refers to his church as the body. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says that the human body has many parts, but those many parts make up the whole body. So it is with all of you in the body of Christ. All together, we are Christ's body. Each of us are a part of it. And so I wanted to show up. I want to put the in order this time with the. Yep, there we go. Awesome. So what I put up here is some of the systems that help keep our bodies healthy, right? Anybody ever had a really, really healthy season, like your physical body? Those are good. That's a good time, isn't it? Anybody have a part of your body or these systems that is having a challenge, or you get a virus, or it's breaking down, or you know something gets torn or pulled, or right? Yeah, I got some people nodding with me now. Oh yeah, Pastor, you can preach on that, right? But we're made up of immune system, nervous system, cardiovascular, hormonal, digestive, eliminative, antioxidant, musculoskeletal, reproductive, right? Those are the systems that make up a healthy body. But what I know is that sometimes when our bodies aren't as healthy as we'd like them to be, there is that temptation to just go, you know what? I think I'll just cut the head off altogether because of the sinus issues that I'm having. Like, nobody would think like that, right? No, my elbow's hurting. Oh, I'm going to go amputate it. Like, you know what? I think I'd get around better on one leg rather than two, right? In other words, there's a design to this whole thing. And if we're just a talking head as a church, if it's all just about the stage gifts, right? I'm preaching this morning. If the whole church's expression is just the Sunday morning worship and the word that's being preached, then guess what? We're just a big mouth in this world. I'm pushing the edges of the organization, aren't I? Yeah. The purpose of the preaching, the purpose of the gather is that we would grow together in Jesus, in our knowledge of who he is and how he's made us. And then we would go back out into our lives and say, Jesus, I'm going to participate as your body. That's the goal. This is a participation sport, right? If you don't believe me, read Luke 10. It talks about Jesus appointing the 72 others. He sent them out two by two to every town and village. And his command was, go, the harvest is plentiful, right? You guys remember that? But the workers are few. It says, go ask the Lord of the harvest and they'll send out workers into the harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. How do you like that promise from Jesus, right? I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. What I can tell you is that there are some apostolic figures in here. They're like, yeah, yeah, let's do this. Risk, baby, let's go. And there are others that maybe, you know, like not risk as much, right? That might just be like, you know what, I'll just, Pastor Chad, I'll just kick it here. You know, we'll develop these really awesome teachings and series. And here's what I'm saying. One gift isn't better than the other, right? They're all needed. It's all necessary, right? So there's this balance of the body, just like what we just saw with the human body in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9 and verse 11 gives us this interaction, this almost reflection that you hear from Paul. And he says, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Amen? That God's the one who makes it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Goes on to say, for no one can lay any other foundation other than the one that Jesus has already laid. Amen. We're building on something. We're building on his faithfulness as his body, doing his will, his way. Amen? So here's the thing. If you are an apostolic influence, here are some of the characteristics that you probably are known for. Being a visionary thinker and motivator. Comfortable crossing boundary lines, either intellectual, social, or cultural, or all of the above. You can be innovative in approaches and solutions. Uncomfortable with the status quo. You see things holistically or as a part of the larger system. That's why I got excited about that graphic. I'm like, ooh, that's it. That's good. Right? Starting something new is energizing. Pioneering new endeavors is fun. Strategic decision-making is just kind of where you live, right? Some of the other callings that are associated with this whole APES profile of the apostle is the seeding of DNA in the church for mission and works beyond what already exists as the movement. Maintaining an abiding commitment to this sentness idea, this mission, that little pep talk I just gave you, right? That's me being an apostle. So please forgive me and love me anyway, right? Ensuring organizational agility, extending the missionary impact to the church. Okay, so we get the idea. I don't need to go through this whole list comprehensively. But here's what I also know, is that there's a dark side to all of our gifts, and that's why we need the body to help see ourselves. Like it's those mirrors, right? The true mirror is in discernment of God's community and his word. Because I don't see myself the way that Jesus does. And sometimes I need people to help me see me. Okay, does that make sense? And so I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. We've been bragging a little bit about what it is that Jesus does through apostles. But let's talk about when it's out of balance, when it's immature, or if it's in a dysfunctional kind of setting. Okay, is that they become dogmatic about the vision. So sometimes I know, y'all, I do that. Autocratic or domineering in their expression. They can become bored quickly. They get discouraged or disillusioned and not seeing quick results. You know, I work with church planters all around our district as part of my other job that's part of being a pastor here. And usually when we lose a church that was just planted, it's between years 3 and 5. Okay, because one, the building of this apostolic like impulse to go, yeah, let's go do something that's never been done. Woo, it should be easy. And it's not. The end of that year 3, year 4, year 5, and we start going, God, maybe this idea doesn't work. Like, maybe I didn't hear God, or maybe, you know what I mean? You guys ever have those seasons? That's part of that faith journey of walking this out with him, right? That they can become impatient because of these things. They can lack empathy. So here I am. I'm gonna have one more joke at me to balance out the good and the bad of the apostle, right? It says sometimes the apostolic personality can lack empathy. Which means that when I think I'm being the most sympathetic and the best listener and the most empathetic towards a situation that you're bringing to me, you probably can't tell. That's why we need shepherds, y'all. We got to have shepherds in the house. People who love to just sit and pray and listen and have tea and coffee. And see, we got someone. See, that's not this week. Don't amen yet. That's coming in a couple of weeks. Okay, this week we're talking about the apostle. Don't steal my thunder, y'all. So all that to say, none of us have all of it. But all of us together is the best expression of who Jesus is in the world. Like, I can tell you, I am so thankful for the gifts that were just expressed up here. And part of it's because I don't have a musical bone in my body. Like, if I had to sing, y'all would leave. I wouldn't blame you, right? Okay, so all that to say that the apest perspectives are all designed for a purpose. And so if you took this next slide, right there, that image is going to mean something different to all of us in here based on your apest. Right, so the APEST kind of going around is the church at work, everybody doing their part. But you know what gets me excited is all those arrows going in. And really, if it was a true expression of the church, that's why the first words in Ephesians 4 was, keep the unity of the Spirit. Keep the unity, because you're not going to get me and I'm not going to get you sometimes. And it's only the love of Christ that compels us to stay on mission together. And so I get excited. I'm like, yeah, some of those arrows are like darting way out and some of them are like going squiggly lines. And we're going, yay, God's doing stuff because I'm an apostle. I'm like, cool, there's movement. And then some teacher gifts are like, no, it's got to be organized. It's got to be in depth and it's got to be airtight theology, Pastor. Yeah, I know. And this movement, stuff happening, energy, life, right? That's how I know I'm an apostle. When I gave my life to Jesus 23, 24 years ago, I started practicing this stuff because I don't sit and listen well. I gotta try it. We gotta try this stuff, you know? And honestly, that's what the word disciple means. We follow Jesus, he leads us, and we do the stuff, okay? So I say all that to simply say I am proud of what God's doing in this place. And I know that in summer when we have all these empty seats and people traveling and people, I mean, gosh, we're in Colorado, y'all. We're all going to go up in those mountains sometimes. We're all going to go on vacation. And that's a good thing. Summer's a good time to get some of that done so that we can return in fall full of faith and full of joy and full of passion to keep this mission rolling. You know, I just had some reflecting time leading up to this message, and I started doing some counting. Do you realize that since I was appointed here 5 years ago, I accepted it on my birthday, July 8th, 5 years ago, right? That's when we accepted the position. We have overseen 257 weekends here at North Rock. That's just one service. Thank you. Thank you. There's a shepherd in the house back here, a pastor that's trying to encourage you like, yay. And wasn't really looking for a yay, but I'm glad you gave it to me. That's not the multiple services. That's not all the stuff that happens in the week while we do ministry. That's just 257 weekends that we've been together. And in that time, we've done hundreds, thousands, really, services. We've planted churches together. We've seen missionaries raised up and sponsored. Like, that's the stuff that just gets me excited. It's the next-gen ministries. It's the worship teams. It's the preaching support. And I said this earlier, that we have a better expression of who Jesus is because I don't preach every week. Of those 257, I have preached 94 of those weekends. 94. And I can tell you, I'm happy about that. I've had plenty of opportunity to share my APEST gift. Because here's the thing, if the apostle is always on the stage, what happens? Go! You just keep sinning. Go! Do what God's called. Go! And then we lose out on some of the learning and the gathering that's necessary and the shepherding gifts as the part of the church, right? We're better because we have both men and women preachers. We're better. We're more complete. We're more whole that way. We're better because we have all kinds of age demographics, all kinds of socioeconomic values coming off of this stage, both in our worship and in our conversations from the pulpit, okay? I'm excited that we've had six different worship leaders. You know, Ryan was leading worship this weekend. Ryan doesn't lead worship every weekend, right? Part of that's why he's so dang excited every time he gets to, right? It's like, woo! We want the woo. Right? We want that. But over the last 5 years, we've had six different worship leaders with this whole group of mixture of beautiful worship team members. Why? Why? Because we're trying to get our quality dialed into a specific perfect notch? No. Because we want to be this. Right? We want to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And when we make room at the table for other people to express their gifts, it gets better. It's not as heavy for any one person, right? So I think I've exhausted us all. And so I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to do one more worship song as we dismiss. But the purpose that I share those things is, one, to preach into our values. It's two, to remind us that this is the DNA of the church. And really, the third piece is just to remind us that there are no guarantees in ministry. That ministry is messy. But what we do know from the scriptures is that God sent and Jesus came so that we could go. That's the progression, that's the way it works, and that's the world that we live in today. So, that's my best talk on what APEST is, on what an apostle is, and the way that God's designed his church to thrive. As we sing this next song, what's the song, Ryan?
Redeemer.
My Redeemer Lives. Will you, just for the moment, start with the question that I asked you when we started? God, we know you're the Redeemer. Amen? Would you redeem me? And would you redeem my story so that I can fully participate in the life that you have for me? Can we pray that? Can we worship him? Let's do that. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that your spirit has been poured out on men and women, on young and old, for this season. So we pray that you would activate us, that you would guide us, and you would help us to walk in the unity of the faith, knowing that you are building your body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Hey, I said what I've said in this service for really one reason. It's to remind us that there is good news out there, people, and that we get to be the ones who get to bear that good news. Isn't that good? And we pray a prayer here every week as a community because we don't believe that people just come to Christ in their own individuality. In other words, Jesus redeems us, he saves us, he heals us, but he also calls us into a body. And so we pray the prayer of salvation every week here at North Rock because we believe that God calls us not to just be individuals, but as a collective of his expression of his life in us. So let's pray this prayer, whether it's your first time or your 50th time, let's pray it like it's our first. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scriptures, to living in fellowship with God's people, and to following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name we pray. And we trust, amen, 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 amen. Hey, if God did something good in your heart today, would you give him an applause? Would you tell him thank you? God, you are good and you are faithful and we trust you, amen. Hey, also just wanted to mention, if you need prayer for any need in your life, we have a prayer team available for that. And if you haven't done your GPS assessment, it's not too late. You can go to our website, click onto that and take that assessment. We'd love to have the conversation about how God's moving in your life, okay? God bless you. Have a great week and have a wonderful 4th of July.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.